setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. That means you are incredibly valuable. We need you. A lot of people need you. So that means you must do it, because work and the contribution we make through work really isn't about us. It's about others. And when you begin to take on that view of work, that it's not a four-letter word, that it is something that I can do, I bring a unique contribution to the world where I can make a really nice income, plenty of income, and I can make impact in the same job. Now we stop looking at Mondays as this thing that just, it's a reminder of my misery. And we look at Mondays as an opportunity to step into meaning, meaningful work, because you're good at it. That's your talent. You love the work. That's your passion. And the work creates results that matter deeply to you. That's mission. So that is the philosophy. There are seven stages to discovering what that unique role is, and then actually doing it very, very well, to where you are no longer working for income alone. You're working because you love it. Impact. So we'll walk you through the seven stages wherever you are, and we'll get you to the next one, prepare you for it. I am your counselor, coach, and cheerleader, all in one phone call. And we're thrilled to have you. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Okay, wanted to start off today's show with some very practical stuff. This is the Great Resignation. I keep hearing it. I've seen it. A lot of people thinking about moving jobs. A lot of people are in the process, and the job interview is ground zero, right? This is the moment where we've got to perform and win. And remember, the job interview isn't just solely for the company to consider whether or not you're a good fit. It's also very important for you to make sure that it's a good fit for you and your goals and your dreams. So, four questions I want to give you today, that if you ask these questions, two things are going to happen. In your job interview, if you ask these four questions, number one, you're going to get good information that'll help you decide if it's a good fit for you. And secondly, it's going to make you stand out from the competition. Remember, this is a competition. This is a fight. This is a game. You got to win the game. And standing out because you look like you're prepared and because you look serious is another benefit. So here we go. Here are the four questions really quick. Number one, what are the key responsibilities of this job? You'd be surprised at how many candidates will go in. They've read the job description and they just sit there and wait to be asked a question, and they do their best, maybe they do, maybe they don't, to answer the question. They're not on offense. They're playing defense. What are the key responsibilities of this job? What are the keys? I read the job description. What is the day-to-day, day-in, day-out, key responsibility areas? Number two, what kind of person wins in this role? Wins in this company? What kind of person? Describe somebody that we know from history wins in this role, wins in the company. You want to get a good idea of what they value. That's what you're going to hear there. And also, are you that? Can you be that? Number three, how do you measure success in this role? This plays off of question one. What are the key responsibility areas? Okay, that's been made clear, I hope. But incidentally, by the way, if you're getting murky answers or crappy answers to any of these four questions, this is a sign. Don't try to force it, folks. So this question is designed to have them say, well, here's how we measure it specifically. And again, you go, is that good measurement? Do I feel like I can hit those measures? And then finally, the fourth question, what is leadership, including you, think about this team that I'm applying to be a part of and the results of this team? What do you think of this team? That's a wonderful question, again, for you to get a snapshot as to what this leader, how this leader values people. What does this leader think about the team they're leading? I mean, folks, this could be green lights or red lights. That's essentially why we ask these four questions. So quick review. First question is, what are the key responsibility areas of this gig? Number two, what kind of person wins in this role? Number three, how do you measure success in this role? Number four, what does leadership think about this team and its results? If you just only asked those four questions in your next job interview, you're going to stand out and you're going to get valuable information as to whether or not this is a good fit for you. 844-747-2577 is the toll-free number to jump in. Let's go to Lynchburg, Virginia to start us off. Zach is there. Zach, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello, Zach.
Yes, can you hear me?
There we go. How can I help you, sir?
So I'm just looking for some clarity. I've taken the assessment, and I believe I'm in step one, just finding clarity on what kind of a job might be the best fit for me long term. And I'm just kind of having a hard time just kind of aimlessly looking for different jobs and not really sure what I want to do long term. But I know where I am now. I can't really move up slash do something where I'm at that
so
I would really like.
All right, let's start with the results from your Get Clear career assessment that you took at kencoleman.com.
Mm-hmm. Purpose statement?
Yeah, I want to hear the purpose statement, and then I want you to tell me what you felt when you read it and what ideas popped in your head, because I don't believe for a second that you don't have some ideas. I think your issue is more certainty. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, tell me what the purpose statement reads. Read it for me.
Use my talents of instruction, compassion, discernment to perform my passions of teaching, leading, performing to accomplish my mission of influence by producing change and progress.
Mm-hmm. And when you read that, when you first got it, because that's a statement about you. That's not a specific job. That's not a title or a position. That's a description. That's a job description. In the sense of, if I'm not showing up every day using my top talents of instruction, compassion, and discernment to do work that I love, leading, teaching, performing, and I'm not driving results that are all about influence, which is change in people, then it's not in my sweet spot. It's not what I'm designed to do. Do you agree with that? Hello? Okay. We're having major problems with Zach's phone. So he's like coming in and out. So that's now I'm a little irritated because we had him right there. So let me close the loop. Let's see if we can get him back on a good phone connection, and we'll finish there. For the audience that's sitting there like me, you're on the edge going, okay, now what? So here's the deal. He took his Get Clear career assessment. So here's a young man who's going, he started off the call by saying, Ken, I have no idea what I want to do. And I challenged him before he even read the purpose statement. I said, I think you have ideas. You're just not certain on the ideas. And he goes, that's right. So the reason I had him read his purpose statement that he got from the assessment is because now when he has these ideas, he needs to look at the ideas and go, does this job, this idea that I have, let me go figure out a job description that's attached to this idea, and does it allow me to use what I do best? And he looks at those top talents. Does it allow me to do work I love? And he looks at the passions. Does it allow me to produce results that matter? He looks at the mission result. And if the answer is no, then you move on. If the answer is yes, we've got ourselves an opportunity to pursue. We'll see if we can get him back. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job so that you can give yourself away. You work for impact. The paycheck is there. Whatever status you've longed for is there. It's really about making that contribution that fires your soul up. This is what people long for. and we're taking on the worldview of work that says, I just work to live. 844-747-2577 is the number. I'm Ken Coleman. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So just before the break, we had some phone issues with young Zach in Lynchburg, Virginia. The quick summary as we bring him back on is, he started off the phone call saying, Ken, I have no idea what I want to do, but I took your Get Clear career assessment, which told me what my top talents are, my top passions, work I love to do, and my primary missional driver through my work, told me what it is. I had him read his purpose statement, and I challenged him. I said, I bet you do know. You have ideas. You just aren't certain. And so then we lost him. So we're going to bring him back. And Zach, I'm going to put you on the spot. You've already shared your purpose statement with me. What are the ideas that you're kicking around that you're not certain you're either designed to do or that you can actually pull it off? What's going on? Talk to me.
I've had a couple small internet businesses, so entrepreneurship type of focus. And that's something that has been of interest to me that I wanted to do more of, but it's always been something that I've done on the side and then had a little bit of success, but not a lot with. And so I was kind of feeling like I just needed to move into something perhaps more practical or something more just some sort of job, but then having a hard time figuring out what kind of job would be the right focus.
Did you, when you got your results, did it resonate with you? Because no assessment is perfect, largely because the person taking it isn't perfect. But if you were honest and answered the questions, how did the purpose statement feel to you? Did it align with you? Did you see it? You go, yeah, that's true. I'm really good at that. I really do enjoy that kind of work. I do want to drive influence in people. Is it on? Is it practical? Is it accurate?
Right. It is.
Okay, I mean,
influence and teaching is what's interesting to me.
All right. So by the way, when you're teaching, you're also leading. And when you're teaching and leading and you're driving personal change, that's the performing that you love. So a lot of people hear performing as just more theatrical or whatever, but it's also you like the pressure of delivering results and you like seeing those results. And so that performing nature is also what puts you in front of a crowd. Right? Whether it's a classroom or whatever. So all that is true. So what work would you be doing? If that is true, what work could you be doing, would you do if you knew that you couldn't fail?
Where I've started multiple online businesses, and I don't know if those have been the best fit because I don't think they necessarily adhere to the strengths that I have.
No, that's why I'm asking you. So you need to be teaching. You need to be leading. You need to be in front of people communicating, correct?
Right.
All right, then. What would you do?
If it was anything, motivational speaking and training of some sort is very interesting to me, but I don't really know how I would get to something like that.
Well, but that's the issue. You're saying you don't know what. You do know what. You don't know how. So we finally got you there, which is great. So here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You're in stage one, get clear. I think you're clear. I think you got to do a little bit more clarity research, which is corporate training, HR training, motivational speaking, maybe author teaching, maybe leadership training. I don't know. You've got to dig into that and go, where are all the places that I could speak, train, instruct? It's not the traditional classroom for you. That's not what I've heard pop up. So you essentially have to just make a list and begin to go, okay, this is what's possible. Now, how do I get qualified? That's stage two. How do I get qualified to do that? Well, you don't just start motivational speaking. That takes time. So if you're going to go work in an organization where maybe they do corporate training and character training, leadership training, teamwork training, I don't know. You got to find the path, but you're overthinking it. If you want to eventually speak for a living, then you've got to figure out who is that person? Who's he speaking to? What is he speaking on? And then how do I build myself into that person? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay, we've got major phone problems, and I can't keep doing this to the audience. So if Zach can hear me, I put him on hold. I can't hear him. He can hear me. So Zach, here's the deal. You go back to the purpose statement, and you know the kind of communication and teaching you want to do. So that's your mountaintop. So now you back down, and you go, how do I get in? Where do I get in? Where are the multiple places to get in? How do I get in? I'm going to get qualified for that. I'm going to get connected. I'm going to follow Ken's clear path. And then I'm going to step into it. And it's going to take some time. So one last piece of advice. You're probably going to need a really solid day job that gets you in the arena, the space that eventually you want to be in. And you're going to be in lower level, entry level, but you're going to grow. You're going to develop it. You're going to get the experience and the skill set. And then you'll build over time. 844-747-2577. Christy's up next in Austin, Texas. Christy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Christy. What's going on?
Well, I've got a little bit of a predicament here.
Okay.
So for about the last year and a half, I have been working like crazy. So with COVID, it has really disrupted our workflow. Our staff is pretty much non-existent. And I just wanted some advice on whether I should stick it out or should I go ahead and make a jump to a different job.
Okay. Which way are you leaning?
A little bit of both. So I want to stay because I really do like the position. I like the company I work for, but it's just so much.
Yeah. So let's dive in there. If it wasn't so much right now, you wouldn't be calling me, I presume.
Correct.
Okay. So that's the bigger issue. So I think we answer your initial question by diving into this. Is this so much, whatever's involved in that? Are your leaders aware of it? Are they telling you how long it's going to last, why it's going to last that long, or is it just kind of, it's just part of the normal mode of operandus right now? I mean, what's going on?
I think it's turned into more of the normal. We did some restructuring, and at this point, I have anywhere between 15 to 20 direct frontline reports, when usually my position would only have 6 to 8.
Okay, so they're not addressing it. They just made structural changes, and that was their way of addressing it. And that's the new normal, and you're going to be fried, and we just don't have any other option.
So I looked at other positions, including one within the company. It's just whenever I went to my manager about it and was like, hey, you might be notified if I get scheduled for an interview. Like, I could hear the panic. As much as she tried to hide it, I could hear it in her voice.
Yeah. And did she discourage you doing that?
She didn't discourage it, but I just want to know, like, is that the right thing to do? Because if it's happening here in my position, my current position, I feel like no matter where I go, it's going to be the same thing.
I would agree with you. So here's what I think. I think that the answers that I needed are clear. This is an organizational issue, and they're not planning to solve that anytime soon, and you will not be able to keep this up much longer, even though you like the job and even though you like the company. So you have to decide, how much longer am I willing to put up with this? And I think you're the only one that can answer that, not me. So I would be looking elsewhere, because I don't think this always exists everywhere else, and it certainly doesn't hurt to look. But the good news is, you know what you love, you know the sweet spot, and you've got the experience for it. I would be looking elsewhere, because right now is a great time to look. And it does not mean you have to leave. You aren't committing. I wouldn't quit and then start looking. I'd start looking now, and I would not look internally. I would look externally. Let's see what's out there. And do your homework. Yeah. Ask what the environment's like and the culture's like. Do a couple job interviews. You'll know. You know what to look for. You know what to ask. And I think that this is a no-brainer. You got to start looking with the opportunity to leave, because this is a leadership issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be able to fix it. I don't know all the stories. I don't need to know. What I know is, you're not going to be able to keep this up much longer. So you got to start looking elsewhere. Don't feel guilty about that. That's the right decision. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get unstuck, we help you get clear, we help you get qualified, we help you get connected, we help you get started, we help you get promoted, we help you get the dream job, we help you give yourself away and work like very few people get to work, where it's about impact and the income is real nice as well. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. Hey, big news. The Ken Coleman Show team is amazing. They're way more amazing than me, trust me. And they've decided to give away our very popular resume templates. We've got a pack of six resume templates that are very, very different based on my very different and very effective resume guide that is free at kencoleman.com. They're giving away the resume templates for free to 400 winners. And then one of you 400 winners will win an advanced reader's copy of my new book, From Paycheck to Purpose, and I'll sign it. And you can enter once a day for a chance to win. So let's get started. Here's what you do. Go to kencoleman.com/giveaway. kencoleman.com/giveaway. kencoleman.com/giveaway to enter. And also, while I'm talking about awesome stuff, I'm also hosting a From Paycheck to Purpose live event based on the new book Thursday, November 11th at 6:45 p.m. Central Time. Thursday, November 11th, 6:45 p.m. Central Time. And the event passes start at just $10. So we're really lowering the bar here for you to get in. Text the word PURPOSE to 33789. Text the word PURPOSE to 33789. So two really great offers there. Check it out. All right, let's do this. I love to keep you folks up to date. And today we have a very heartwarming story in the news. Okay, so here's the story. New York Post puts this story out. And full disclosure, I'm a huge Disney fan. Okay. And I got engaged there. I love Disney. I think Disney's amazing. All right. And spare me if you don't like their politics or their policies. I get it. I'm not talking about all their decisions. I'm just saying my wife and I, we love Disney. All right. So there it is. All right. So story from the New York Post. Disney World opened 50 years ago. Meet the workers who never left. This is fantastic. I thought, well, this is great. I got to share this. So the story highlights four different workers, and they were among the 6,000 employees who opened the Magic Kingdom on October 1st, 1971. There were 6,000 of them. And it's amazing that it's now grown to 77,000 employees worldwide. And so they go on to profile the different stories. One, a guy by the name of George Kalogridis was a high school graduate and made a split-second decision. He picked a room where prospective hotel workers were being hired. He goes in and he gets the job. He is now president of segment development and enrichment for Disney Parks. He worked his way up pretty darn high. Of the 6,000 employees who were there the first day it opened, there's only two dozen still left. So they highlight four in this article. But there's two dozen that are still left. And it's amazing as they profile the story that it comes back to what I teach every day. If you're going to stay somewhere 50 years, there's two reasons, by the way. Okay, so my grandfather is a part of the Greatest Generation. My father is a boomer. A lot of people in the Greatest Generation and the boomers, they stayed on the job for 40 years, 50 years for one of the reasons. They just thought that was work. It's what I do. I'm not going to do anything else unless they fire me. All right, that's just the mentality around work. The other reason you would stay somewhere for 50 years is this quote from one of the ladies, from one of the guys profiled in the story, and his name is Forrest Baruth, and here's what he said. There are people all over the world who get up to go to work. They're unhappy about it. They don't really like their jobs. As you can tell from us, there's an enthusiasm. We are privileged to be at a place where we love what we do. Can I just tell you, if I was going to summarize this show into three words, it would be for the love. It's a little phrase from the new book, From Paycheck to Purpose, in one of the final chapters, for the love. And by the way, isn't it funny that phrase, for the love of, you know, it's like this frustrating statement. It leads into some like, for the love of Pete or whatever. But you know what? Men and women that are on purpose, they do their work for the love. They love the work. It's that simple. I can just ask you right now, if you're not happy in your work, you may love the work, but you may not love the people you're working with. Hello. You may love the work. You may not love the people you work for. And so don't miss that this doesn't have to be so confusing. Do the work you love in a good place. Oh, there it is. I mean, I wish that I could say that I'm one of the smartest people on the planet. I wish I could say that I was this brilliant thought leader. I do. I wish I could say that I discovered the formula to cold fusion. I wish. I wish I could say all those things. But folks, I'm saying something that is so unbelievably simple, and yet we make it complex. It's for the love. All right, let's go back to the phones. Johnny joins us in Harlingen, Texas. Johnny, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks, Ken. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
So I'm a new listener, man, and just a little background on me. I was teaching for 8 years. I left to finish a pending degree in business in February of 2020. We all know what happened just a month after that.
Yeah.
So I was able to finish a pending degree in business within 6 months. And 2 months after that, I got a call from a doctor that was interested in me managing his business. And a little fast forwarding from there, I'm about to close out my first year in mid-October this month. So I went from one field to this field and not really knowing what I was doing. I took this doctor from an $80,000 revenue to closing out my first year at $200,000.
Wow.
And it's just, I think I found what I'm meant to do. I just don't know where to go from here because I have kind of hit my promotional cap already. Yeah. I know it's only been a year, but it's a smaller business. It's his second location, and good terms, and he knows. Yeah.
So here's the great news, Johnny. You know what you want to do. You want to build businesses. Is that the way you would say it? Give me your sentence. What do you want to do?
Most definitely. I love building a strong team, a sense of community, and helping businesses succeed.
Okay,
I mean,
great.
I wish it was my own money that I was making.
Well, hold on. So hold on. You're how old?
I'm 30.
You're 30, so you got plenty of time. So what you're looking for now is the next challenge, a challenge where you can move up the ladder. You're topped out because you were running a doctor's business, and he's the top. Mm-hmm. He's the top guy. You can't go any further, and mm-hmm. you're probably limited in your growth. So now you're looking for, can I just tell you, you're looking for a very similar situation in that somebody needs you to come in, stabilize, systemize, and maximize. Those are your three words. Write those down. If you got something to write with right now?
Yes.
Great. Stabilize, systemize, maximize. Is that fair? Would you say you did those three things for the doctor?
Most definitely.
Most definitely. And you got a freaking track record. You're a 30-year-old turnaround hotshot. Like, no, seriously. So can I just tell you, you need to expand your search to multiple industries. It's not industry specific because at the end of the day, you're a guy that's come in and you're really an operations leadership guy. I'm going to come in, fix the team, fix the operations, all the things you already did. So you're calling me almost like, Ken, I don't know where to go. Yeah, you do. Anywhere that's,
I really don't.
Yes, you do. You go anywhere that's hiring a position like that. So you start looking everywhere in Harlingen, Texas. It's not that big. So start looking. Leadership positions, management positions, operations positions. That's where you start looking, and you look at the job description and go, have I done that? Do I love to do that? Can I do that? That's where you look. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get unstuck and then on purpose. 844-747-2414. 877-844-747-247-2577. Thrilled to have you with us as we help you move forward. Hey, one of the ways you can move forward is by adding a great tool to your tool belt in the hiring process, and that is my friends at ZipRecruiter, the number one hiring site in the United States. There's a reason they're number one. They've got more people posting, more companies offering, and they got a great technology. In just a matter of minutes, you got a profile for free at ZipRecruiter. And when you submit it, they begin promoting you, pitching you to companies that have positions that match up to your profile. They give you updates when you get looked at, when you get likes, and when you get information requests. They allow the companies to contact you directly. If that sounds incredibly easy and awesome, yeah, it is. And it's free, by the way. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Back to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. Marie joins us in Milwaukee. Marie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
How are you, Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's happening?
Well, first of all, I've never heard you talk about Disney before, and that's actually part of my thing. I've worked there for 5 years seasonally, but as a performer, and was let go during COVID, and I miss it so much.
Oh, really?
That's not. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I did not know
it.
You got engaged there.
Yeah. So yeah, I got engaged there. It's Stacy, my wife's favorite place on the planet. It's become mine, but she was so in love with it, and I came up with the idea. And the very short version is, I called their wedding department. And I said, do you have engagement packages? They go, no, we do wedding packages. I said, well, that's a bummer. And the lady on the phone said, hold on a second. Put her manager on the phone. And the manager said, what are you thinking? I go, I don't know. That's why I called you. I just would love to ask my wife, my girlfriend, rather, to marry me there. And I want to come up with something. So she said, how much money do you have to spend? And I told her. So they came up with something. It was a really fun thing. I'll tell the story sometime, maybe on social media. But I love the place. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. So, good to talk with you. So what can I help you with today?
I guess my question is, should I work on finding a different day job?
Based on?
So I currently work remotely in higher education for the past year and a half in email marketing. I was hired as an admissions counselor, and then about 10 days later, they switched me over to email marketing when the assistant director decided to leave. And then they didn't want to change my pay. They said it was just a change in responsibilities. So my day-to-day consists of like designing and writing emails for all undergraduate and graduate recruitment, running print exports, maintaining and building a calendar for all communications. And now they have me doing a lot of like social media design and graphic design because they don't want to outsource it. And it's just a wild time. And I don't have a team. I had a leader for the past like 2 weeks, and they just left for another job. Oh, I also took the career assessment too.
Okay.
And the book is on the way.
Okay. Thank you very much. But what did it say? What does the career assessment tell you about these things you just laid on me?
It says, I was created to use my talents of imagination, execution, discernment to perform my passions of creating, planning, teaching to accomplish my mission of creation.
How does that feel?
By producing new things. Good.
So that's right on.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not trying to be cute and I'm not trying to be vague, but what do you think based on what you just said to me, based on knowing your purpose statement now, do you need to move on?
Yes. I'm just scared.
Okay. Now that's the issue. So I'm okay with that. Right. But you're like, Ken, should I move on? The answer is yes. But not because I told you, because you know it is. So what are you scared of? Let's talk about that. And by the way, it's okay to be scared, but let's name it. Is fear telling you the truth, or is fear lying to you? In other words, is fear protecting you from a bad decision, or is fear holding you from moving forward? So what are you afraid of?
I definitely say holding. I guess scared of just leaving this team, because people have been like leaving left and right, and I don't want to put anybody in a bad spot.
So that's fear of peers. That's fear of your current leaders or your current coworkers saying bad stuff about you because you're not loyal and you left them hanging. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Okay. So is fear protecting you or is fear holding you back? It's holding
you
back.
Holding back.
It's lying to you. They're not going to think you're a bad person because of this unless you leave in a really bad way. Yes? I just don't think it's possible, Marie, for you to be a bad person and leave Warong. And so if you leave and blow up the bridge, then maybe they'll think bad about you. But I just don't see you doing that. So fear is lying to you. Fear is telling you, Marie, you are a jerk if you leave these people in this tough situation. They're going to hate you. Sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. What else? Anything else? Any other fear holding you back from making the move you know you need to make?
I guess this job has just been so insane that I'm scared of the next job being just as non-leadery and...
Okay. All right. So let's flip roles for a second. I want you to be the host of the Ken Coleman Show, and I'm gonna be asking you a question. Does that sound good? It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. You're going to do great. I've got a question for you, Marie. I'm in a bad work environment. And toxic people, boss, they don't listen to our needs. They just pile work on us. We tell them and they don't do anything about it. And I'm looking at another job. Could you give me advice on how I would find out if they're like that over there?
I would say ask questions about the work culture and what the job requirements are like and if there's what the teams are like and if just the structure of the environment that the job would be in.
Yeah. And I think that's good advice. Thank you. One other question, Marie. How could I find out from people who are actually working there? I don't know if I know anybody there right now. How would I find out if from real people who are there if it's a good environment? You have any advice on that?
I guess you could reach out to some of the people that are currently working there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's a brilliant idea, Marie. You are great. Thank you for taking my call. Oh, wait a second. Sorry, I got so into the role play that I forgot who is in charge. Marie, that's really good advice you just gave yourself. I'm having some fun with you because I'm trying to tease your fear to a point where your fear goes, oh boy, I am not making any sense at all. You feel me, Marie?
Yeah.
Come on. You got this. You got this. There's nothing to be afraid of. Go do your homework. You can hang in there a little while longer, can't you?
Yes.
Yes. Until we have something to step into. Okay? So get after it. Start looking. You're not a bad person for looking. And we're going to look and we're going to look and we're going to look until we get in the right spot because we know what we want to do. We know the work we want to do. So stop overthinking this and begin to step forward. One of the challenges that we humans have is when we're thinking all the time and we're not doing, what happens is we stay in this merry-go-round of thoughts and we just unpacked your fear. And I'm going to say this for Marie, for me, for you. Here's what we know. William James, who is widely considered one of the fathers of psychology, once said, no matter how absurd something is, listen, if it is repeated often enough, people will believe it. So let me doctor that. No matter how absurd our thoughts are, if we keep thinking them enough, they will become reality. And so when we stay in this thought process, I'm afraid, I'm doubting, those absurdities become realities. I'm telling you, no human is immune to this. So folks, back to this practical, what do we do with the voices of fear and doubt? Find out if they're telling us the truth and thus protecting us, or are they lying to us and holding us back. That is what you must do, and you can do it. Hey, you matter. You have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.